Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, May 4th. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning on this Thursday of the fourth week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is also the National Day of Prayer, an annual day of observance held on the first Thursday of May, designated by the U.S. Congress, when people are asked to turn to God in prayer. This year's theme is derived from James 5:16, pray fervently in righteousness and avail much. I want to remind you to join Father Rocky, Drew Mariani, and Patrick Madrid, and thousands of Relevant Radio listeners from all over our country in a pilgrimage walk to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion, formerly known as Our Lady of Good Help, coming up this Saturday, May 6th. This growing 10th annual 21-mile pilgrimage starts at the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, Wisconsin, and finishes at the only approved Marian apparition site in the U.S., Our Lady of Champion in Champion, Wisconsin. You can walk part of the way or all of the way. The Walk to Mary is coming up this Saturday, May 6th. For information and registration, it's still not too late. Just go to walktomary.com. That's walktomary.com. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, as we do every morning, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines on this Thursday morning?
Another bad guy caught after another mass shooting, this time in the Atlanta area. The suspect is in custody. Deion Patterson captured in Cobb County on Wednesday after an hours-long manhunt. Some technology was used to help track him. An undercover officer actually saw the suspect and waited for backup. They were able to take him into custody without incident. He killed one person, allegedly, four others injured as well in a shooting at a medical center on Wednesday. And these just sporadic mass shootings continue.
Well, Glenn, again, you know, it's just becoming way too common. You know, you turn on the TV and you see another mass shooting in progress. And this one in Atlanta, the mother of this alleged gunman said that her son had some mental instability. And that is probably the case, because anybody that does these mass shootings has to be unstable mentally.
Yeah, that seems to be a common feature of all of that as well.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is threatening. They've issued an ultimatum to a top-rated Catholic hospital network in Oklahoma. Glenn, what do we know about this story?
St. Francis Hospital South in Tulsa. No, they've kept a candle in their sanctuary, lit for 15 consecutive years. Had that going for most of the time since 1960, when the hospital was established. The network operates nearby St. Francis Hospital, the largest in the state of Oklahoma, and the Biden Department of Health and Human Services has issued an ultimatum. They don't want to continue the okay for them to work with Medicare, Medicaid, or Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program, if the organization doesn't comply with the administration's demand. No real word on why or how that hurts anything, but very common for hospitals to have chapels, very common for a Catholic sanctuary, right, to have a eternal flame going there. And so just another seeming attack on religion.
Yeah, it absolutely seems like a blatant attack on religious freedom. And of course, that candle there in the tabernacle, I'm sure, is because the Blessed Sacrament is there. And as Catholics, of course, we believe in the true presence. And so it is blatant. So we will see how this story develops. Meanwhile, today, the 4th of May, it's May the 4th be with you day.
Watch out, guys. I brought my lightsaber to work today. And as John has noted, I dressed up as one of the Star Wars characters because it's just a fun day to just be greeting everyone with May the 4th be with you. And if you're Catholic, your response usually to something like that is, and also with your spirit. So just be aware that we might have those kinds of reactions today. Yeah, it's a fun day. It's one of those silly made-up holidays that our culture has started to have just based on the language of the date. It's always fun to have something like that. But also culture trying to jump in as well with honoring Carrie Fisher. She's going to get a star on the Walk of Fame there. And you know, she died 6 years ago, but she's still getting that honoring, which is good. Her daughter will be there to be there when that happens. And she'll be joining Harrison Ford and Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, is next to their stars. And it'll be kind of a cool thing, I'm sure, that Carrie Fisher's family is very happy and excited for this, as well as many Star Wars fans saying, hey, how come it took 6 years after she passed away for this to happen? Should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, you kind of think that would have been the case already. But I tell you, Star Wars played a significant role in my life. You know, old enough to have seen it in the theater back in the day, but young enough to have been just kind of dragged along with my grade school best friend and his mom. And it was during summer, and mom and dad were at work, and, you know, I wasn't getting an allowance at the time. So Larry's mom had to spot me the admission fee to the movie theater. And that was the start of little Glenn getting a regular allowance. So hats off to Star Wars, huh?
Oh, man, I'm glad it made a good start in your life. You're like, you know what, Mom? I don't want to have to keep borrowing money. Come on. Give me some chores to do.
All right. Did you guys ever dress up in Star Wars costumes at Halloween?
I did not. I did not.
That was, you were so busy doing Robin. I think you were caught up in that. You know, I never dressed up as Star Wars characters until I was much older. I didn't, like, get into it until I was a little bit older. And I had a lot of other fun costume ideas that I wanted to do when I was littler. But it's a fun thing to do. We had one Halloween that, like, everyone in our family, me and my sister's family, we all dressed up in Star Wars costumes. And it was very cool. We're kind of like a big troop of Star Wars characters, like part of the cast, walking around asking for candy. So that was kind of a fun year.
It's all in fun. May the 4th be with you.
And with your spirit.
Oh, thanks so much. All right.
Eat that.
First things first, as we always do here on Morning Air, we always start in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Thursdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you about the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Try to visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today if you get a moment, if you get a chance, or perhaps make a visit in the upcoming days. All it takes is a moment to go in and say, thank you, Jesus. Of course, you can find us on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or story ideas. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. This morning, our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, of course, we are here at the beginning of the month of May, the month of Mary. And for centuries, the Catholic Church has set aside the entire month of May to honor our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God. The ways that Mary is honored in May is as varied as the people who honor her. Joining us live this morning is Father Mihailo Kuzma to discuss May, the month of the Mother of God, the Theotokos, and how Eastern Catholics honor Our Lady. Father Kuzma is the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, and it's also known as the Shrine of the New Martyrs of Ukraine. Good morning, Father Kuzma. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always a joy to be with you.
And it's a joy to be with you. Good morning to you, to all your listeners, and may today be a wonderful, blessed day. May the fourth be with you as well.
All right, Father, you're playing along. Yeah, this is a fun day for all the Star Wars fans. It's also a day, on a more serious note, in which we are supposed to pray. It's the National Day of Prayer. Why do you think that we need prayer for our nation right now more than ever before?
Well, I think you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. You said, you know, what's happening in Atlanta and Tulsa and whatnot. I believe the soul of our nation is truly very, very, very sick, much more so than many of us want to believe, because obviously we don't want to face the worst illnesses, you know, in the personal life. A person who receives news from the doctor has cancer. It's a hard thing to accept or whatnot. I believe we're in a period where slowly but surely God will and is purifying and cleansing our nation, which we need to become the nation we were called to be, which we were founded to be. I have great hope for the future. I'm not a pessimist. I really believe that our future is glorious, but before we get there, it's going to be a lot of cleansing, purification on all levels, on political level, social level. Already we see it on the economic level. Prices are going up tremendously. I think that, as I say, we need Jesus to heal us of mind, body, soul, and spirit.
No question about it. And of course, now way more than a year out since the start of the war in Ukraine, we continue to pray for peace and pray for the Ukrainian people. So that's something that we can definitely take to heart here on this National Day of Prayer.
Thank you so much. As you know, the war continues. It's a spiritual war at the highest level. You know, we see what's going on Earth. We see to help Ukrainians, we see it from the West, especially America. We see the terrible things happening to our children in Ukraine, all the civilians that are getting destroyed massively, basically, the soldiers, not to mention the soldiers. But at the highest level, you know, the Lord said very clearly, certain spirits you can only conquer by prayer and fasting. And this is a war, a satanic war, and it needs to be overcome by prayer and fasting. I mean, the arms and what we're doing on earth is very important, but even more important in my mind, without any doubt, is prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting on a daily, continued basis, not only in one day a year.
Well, Father Kuzma, we wanted to talk about some of the ways in which our Blessed Mother Mary, known as the Theotokos in the Eastern churches, is honored. First of all, can you explain for our listeners what Theotokos actually means?
Well, Theotokos, a Greek word, obviously, God-bearer, the one who bore or gave birth to God. This is, as you know, the greatest title given to Our Lady. At the Third Ecumenical Council, she was given this title. In other words, she is the one who was chosen by God. Her greatness lies in the fact that God chose her to bear his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, the incarnation, Christmas. So this is the highest title, and it also bears witness to the fact that it's really, she points always to God. She's the God-bearer, the one who brought the Son of God into the world. But this is a gift for the world because she said yes to God's request that she be the mother of Jesus.
I want to bring in our listeners here. If anyone is up early this morning and would like to share what the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, means to you personally, maybe how she has cared for you in a specific situation of your life. We're taking your calls for Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church, at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Can you talk about how our Blessed Mother Mary's mission continues today? She's always pointing us to her son, Jesus.
Well, if I could just mention one particular instance in my own life where Our Lady intervened. I believe my whole life is one great blessing because I had a grandmother that prayed incessantly, went to liturgy, the Mass, as you would call it, in the Western Church. Daily, she would stay for two liturgies back then in the late 50s, early 60s. She prayed the rosary incessantly. I believe that my vocation came through her prayers, through her fasting. And on one particular occasion, I was in a very difficult spot, emotionally, spiritually, as a priest, as a young priest, 5 years into the priesthood. One day I was driving to senior citizen center to visit one of my parishioners. I was in a depression. It was really terrible. It was dark. And I was praying the rosary. And in front of my eyes, this rosary, the links between the beads and the rosary, was a rosary with metal links, was turning gold as I was praying, every Hail Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Hail Mary, the link in front of it would be turning gold. For me, this was a sign only, Hey Mary, Jesus telling me, hey, my mother is with you. She's always going to lead you to me. Don't worry about anything. Just you have to learn to trust, as all of us do. You have to learn to trust me, let go. Stop worrying, because Our Lady and Our Lord want us to have peace in our hearts. She appears in Medjugorje, the Queen of Peace. And only as we give our worries and cares and concerns and problems to Jesus, especially through Mary, I would say, we can find that peace that God wants for each of His children. I think the world today suffers. I know so many of my parishioners suffer because of anxieties and worries, and it's eating them up. It's robbing them of the peace and joy that the world cannot give us, that God wants to give us. So this is one instance in life where Our Lady helped me. But she's always leading us to our Son, as you know. Do whatever He tells you, as she said in Cana of Galilee. She has been leading the world for the last few hundred years in many ways through her apparitions, as you know, Lourdes, Fatima, Medjugorje, Garibaldi, Akita, Japan. There's so many apparitions that have been going on the last few hundred years. I think in many instances, we don't pay attention. Even, maybe even leaders of the church don't pay as much attention as maybe they should, because Our Lady's only leading us back to Jesus, to the gospel message. The gospel is a message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Medjugorje is very evident. Whoever listens to those messages for the last 41 years all knows that it's only an underlining of what Jesus said in the calling us to holiness, to become the best version of ourselves.
Well, Father Kuzma, can you share with us briefly how the Theotokos, the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, is honored in the Eastern churches here in this month of May?
In many parishes, we have services to the Mother of God. There are many different services, but the two major services in our Chicagoland Ukrainian Catholic parishes are called the Moladin, or Prayer Service to the Mother of God, and the Akathist. The Akathist is a prayer form, a service stemming from even the 7th century. It precedes even the Rosary, and we sing this service, the Moladin, the Akathist, in our parishes, usually in the evening, so people can attend at 7 o'clock. But we also, as you know, honor Our Lady in the Eastern churches. We have icons of the Mother of God all over the place. Many of those icons might be familiar to our Western brothers and sisters for Our Lady. For example, Our Lady of Perpetual Health. This is an icon we find all over the place. And that's precisely what she does. She helps us in all instances. Obviously, many of our people, I myself pray many, many rosaries a day. I think of the Mother of God. I thank her. Many people will do a consecration to the Mother of God during the month of May, which is, really, really a wonderful thing to do. Because when we give ourselves to Our Lady, when we give our hearts to Our Lady, she will lead us more and more to falling in love with Jesus, her Son, our Lord and Savior. So you cannot have too strong of a devotion to the Mother of God. If you have a true devotion, not an exaggerated one, you will learn to love Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, more and more. And as St. Louis de Montfort once said, we never give more honor to Jesus than we honor His Mother. In other words, God wants us to venerate, to love the Mother of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, Father Kuzma, I have this beautiful holy card of Our Lady of Ukraine that you gave me a while back, and I keep it with me at all times as a reminder of the Eastern churches and also of the need to continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and invoke our Blessed Mother Mary. So she is always with us here in studio. Aaron is joining us this morning from Rhode Island. Good morning, Aaron. You're on with Father Mihailo Kuzma.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to relay that it was because of Mother Mary that I converted to the Catholic Church 2 years ago. She was a very, very central part in my conversion and in my wife's conversion as well. We both converted. I was a Protestant prior, and I was a Mary-hating Protestant, I guess you could say. I believed all the myths about the Catholic Church and all the fallacies and all the hatred for her as well. And it was because of my wife. My wife got me a book for Christmas one year, and it was Catholic Answers. It was published by Catholic Answers, and it was about Mary. And I was reading it, and I got to this point about Our Lady of Fatima and the apparition. And it got to this one point in the chapter about how she appeared to the children. And for some reason, I don't know what grabbed me, but something took a hold of my heart. And I fell down and I wept. And I wept because the way it was portrayed was so beautiful, so magnificent, so loving, so caring. And from that day forward, for the past 2 years, I pray my rosary every single day because of it. And I have the utmost devotion for her.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate you sharing your testimony. Absolutely outstanding. Father Kuzma, your thoughts?
You know, Aaron, I just want to say how grateful, how pleased I am, and everybody is, because, again, you show in your own life how Our Lady led you to Jesus, to the Eucharistic Lord, how she led you to this fullness of truth that you can find in the Catholic Church, if you can dig in far enough. And it's a marvelous testimony to the power of Our Lady. You know, I've had, as a chaplain for many, many years, I've had even Baptists, as they're really, really sick, and as they open themselves up to discussion about Mary, ask me for a rosary. You know, these guys are ready to die. They say, you know, give me a rosary. It can't hurt me, right? So the power of Our Lady is just amazing. Just amazing.
Aaron, thanks again, and welcome to the Catholic family. Father Kuzma, we're just about out of time. Can you lead us in a brief prayer here on this National Day of Prayer?
Lord Jesus Christ, we turn to you, and we turn to your mother. Our nation, all of us, need you so very, very, very much in these very difficult times. We ask that you, Most Holy Mother of God, cover our wonderful nation with your manner of protection. We pray that through your intercession, Mary, our leaders, both political and church leaders, discover more and more the truth. That we stay united, especially in the Catholic Church, that our leaders, our bishops, our cardinals, our Pope, all of us, priests, faithful, stay united to the true faith. We pray for our children, for marriages that are falling apart and in great difficulty. We pray for the truth to be spread in our schools with regard to men and women. We pray for what Our Lady said in Fatima, that the last fight in our particular age would be in the family. We pray for the protection of families. We pray for Relevant Radio, that they continue doing their wonderful work. And we ask for the blessing of Almighty God to descend upon us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Kuzma. Always a joy to be with you. Thanks again for your very beautiful spiritual perspective and your love for the Theotokos, our Blessed Mother Mary.
Well, thank you, John. God's blessings to you. And I thank the Mother of God because she drew me to herself and to Jesus. I have to give all credit to her. It's not what I've done. I sort of went along for the ride. She's the leader, definitely.
Thanks again. Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, and a Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Eric Schadler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, will join us to talk about the latest and what's going on with the abortion pill and the battle for the culture of life. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on this Thursday on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
May the Fourth be with you.
This is Morning Air.
And welcome back to Morning Air on this day in which we remember Star Wars. May the Fourth be with you. It's also the National Day of Prayer. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday morning, as we do every morning. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and respectful in every way. St. Paul reminds us that we should pray for everyone, and especially today on this National Day of Prayer. We need to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for our families and a culture of life more than ever before. America needs Jesus, the world needs Jesus, and on this day, let's pray for peace in our nation to the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercession of the Queen of Peace, our Blessed Mother Mary. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, it's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, millions of unborn babies have been killed with the abortion drug mifepristone, also known as RU486, since its approval back in the year 2000. According to the Guttmacher Institute, Planned Parenthood's research arm, over half of all the abortions in the U.S. today are induced medically with the abortion kill. A pill killing approximately 400,000 unborn babies every single year. What is the latest with this dangerous and controversial abortion pill? Joining us live for much more perspective is Morning Air regular contributor Eric Scheidler, who will tell us much more about the abortion pill and the connection between Mother's Day and abortion. Eric Scheidler is the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League based in Chicago. He speaks frequently on pro-life activism, religious liberty, marriage, and the family to audiences all across our nation. Good morning, Eric. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you, and especially on this National Day of Prayer.
Great to be with you too, John.
Eric, what is going on with mifepristone, the abortion pill that continues to be in the news? I know the Pro-Life Action League has just recently come out with a brand new resource.
That's right. Well, this issue of mifepristone has emerged as really the most important area of the abortion industry and the abortion issue right now. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, we've seen the abortion pill growing in use over the years. It was first approved by the FDA in a very rushed, very abnormal process back in 2000, right at the very end of the Bill Clinton administration. And initially it was approved for a shorter period of time in pregnancy. Over the years, they changed the rules. In 2016, they stripped away a whole lot of protections. They stopped tracking any non-fatal complications having to do with mifepristone. And then very recently, the Biden administration, over the course of COVID, some rules were changed by a federal judge to allow telemedicine distribution of this and in some cases distribution by someone other than a physician. And then Joe Biden made those rules permanent and then also expanded who can dispense this to any pharmacy in the country that applies for a license. So the goal being here to make every single pharmacy in the United States into an abortion facility. However, the pro-life movement has been fighting back in a couple of different ways, both through the courts and also on the ground and you know, in the court of public opinion. So there was a court case in Florida brought by a group of physicians, emergency room physicians, who have seen women suffering from the after effects of botched medication abortions. Now, one thing people need to realize is there's a lot of different names for this thing. So you're going to hear medication abortion. You're going to hear chemical abortion. You're going to hear medicine abortion. You're going to hear abortion pill. All of those things are referring to this combination of mifepristone and misoprostol. So maybe it'd be helpful to just step back and talk about how these medicines work quickly. So it's a two-drug regimen. First, the woman takes the mifepristone, also known as Mifeprex by its brand name, also known as RU46, the name it had when it was invented in France. Same thing, whether it's mifepristone, RU46, or Mifeprex, all the same thing. Abortion pill, sometimes it's called. She takes that chemical, and it causes her body to shut down the production of progesterone. This is a crucial hormone that creates an environment in her uterus, in her womb, where the unborn child's little tiny body can latch on, grow a placenta, and eventually grow fully into a perfectly formed baby to be born. So the progesterone is shut down, and that starves the child of food and oxygen. Then the woman, within 48 hours, takes misoprostol, which is a legitimate drug. It's used for several different treatments, including ulcers. And it causes very, very heavy contractions in her uterus that expel the now dead, usually dead, sometimes still living, baby out of her body. And often she will see that tiny little body in her sanitary pad in the toilet. In fact, there's a tiny little picture, disturbing but important picture, of one of these abortion victims from chemical abortion in the new abortion pill, What You Need to Know flyer, the Pro-Affection League has put together. So that's how it all works. In the past, the first medicine had to be taken at the doctor's office for a couple reasons. The most important being that this drug, if it leaves the hands of the dispenser, could actually be used by anybody. And there have been cases of people getting their hands on these drugs and using, slipping them into a woman's meal so that she has a miscarriage that she never wanted to have. You know, disgruntled boyfriend who doesn't want to be bear the responsibility of fatherhood will cause his girlfriend, his wife, to have an abortion with this if it's not dispensed in a way that's safe and, well, safe for this misuse. Of course, it's always going to kill a baby. So that's a little background to this. Now, the lawsuit that was brought by the physicians in Texas claimed that this medicine was approved improperly, that it was rushed. One of the claims they made, this was really interesting, the FDA is supposed to approve drugs using this quick emergency process that Clinton used for medicines that are urgently needed for life, to save lives because of conditions that are causing so much harm to life. Well, what's the condition that mifepristone supposedly treats? What's pregnancy? Pregnancy is not a disease. This is what the Pro-Affection League declared when the Obama administration tried to make contraceptives forced to be covered by all employers during under Obamacare. Pregnancy is not a disease. In fact, it's something that a healthy body does. When a woman can get pregnant, that's a sign of health, not of disease. It's completely the opposite. And so the FDA should never have used this particular sped-up process for a compound that doesn't actually address any human disease or condition that needs to be treated by our physicians to make a person more healthy. So that was one of their claims along the way. Well, a judge in Texas, a federal judge, agreed with them and said that the FDA needed to suspend its approval of mifepristone. In appellate court, the Fifth Circuit was immediately appealed to by abortion providers in the Biden administration, and they set aside most of his ruling. But they did say, okay, everything that FDA has done since 2016, allowing non-physicians to prescribe, allowing telemedicine, allowing a much longer period of pregnancy for this to be used in, and some other rules about telemedicine, those are all suspended, including the Biden administration's attempt to allow pharmacies to use this medicine or this compound. I hate to call it a medicine since pregnancy is not a disease. Then a few days after that, the Supreme Court went in and reinstated everything back to the way that a Biden has put it so far. And so we're back to where we kind of started from after all that ordeal through the courts. But it's all very temporary right now. The case continues to go forward, and we may well see it come back to the Supreme Court, and we don't know what they'll do at that point. It does seem likely enough that eventually the FDA will still be fully approving this. But please, everyone, pray that this case will go well, that the judges will see the truth of how badly this thing has been implemented and how much harm it's done to women. And 24 women have died from this medicine. We can talk more about the complications. But we really don't know. So we need a lot of prayer, especially for the courts to do the right thing here. Meanwhile, the Pro-Life Action League is trying to educate the public because we've heard a lot of misinformation. We've been hearing that this is supposedly safer than ibuprofen or Tylenol, and that's literally untrue. There are many times more complications with mifepristone. Among the things that I've learned in my research of this, putting together this new piece of literature called The Abortion Pill, What You Need to Know, is that 58% of women who take it have pain so intense that they would describe it as severe. We're talking about like the worst period you ever had in your life times 20. It's so incredibly painful. One woman described the clotting that took place. She said, blood clots the size of lemons were coming out of me. They describe it as the most excruciating experience of their entire lives. And that's a lot of the women who take this particular compound say that. It's not just occasionally. It's like a regular thing. And in fact, we've also learned, and we are sharing with the American people, that there are four times more complications with this abortion pill regimen than there are even with surgical abortion, where they have to put instruments, a surgical scalpel, and a suction tube inside the woman's body. This medication, abortion, is more harmful, causes more complications than even that. So we're hearing tremendous lies, and the media is not going to tell the truth about this. They just say what Planned Parenthood and the Biden administration tell them to. So it's on us. That's why I'm encouraging people to go to prolifeaction.org and pre-order this flyer. Usually I wouldn't want to tell people about a flyer until I've got 10,000 copies in my office. But we just finished this up, and we want to get those orders in immediately so that the second this thing gets in your hands, it'll be the earliest possible moment, and you'll be able to start sharing this with people. You know, put these in the back of your church. Hand them out to your friends and neighbors. You could walk around the neighborhood leafleting. You could go to your local pharmacy and pass these out to people who are going in so that they can learn what's coming to their pharmacy in the form of abortion. It's really on us. We're the only ones who will do that work, and the Pro-Life Action League is there to empower you to be a disciple of life, to be an ambassador of the truth when it comes to the abortion pill.
Well, Eric, this flyer, the abortion pill, what you need to know is absolutely needed now more than ever before because of all the misinformation that's out there. I want to invite our listeners, if you have any thoughts on the dangers of the abortion pill, any other thoughts or questions that you might have, we're taking your calls for Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. We'd want to hear from you if you want to be part of the conversation. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. We'll continue our discussion with Eric Scheidler. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
May the Fourth be with you.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us this morning as we are continuing our conversation with Morning Air contributor Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. We're breaking it open, talking about the abortion pill, mifepristone, and some of the myths and misinformation that's out there. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you have any thoughts on the dangers of this abortion pill, again, our number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Eric, there is so much to unpack, and again, it is such a beautiful thing that the Pro-Life Action League is producing this flyer, which can be a great tool, a great source of information. The abortion pill, what you need to know, it's really needed. Do you feel like the FDA just doesn't seem to care about all the potential risks to women that have been reported, the more than two dozen deaths in recent years, all these complications that you mentioned earlier, they just are ignoring it all?
Well, for all the hype about how this is about women and what women need and women's health and all of that, the reality is that women get what they get from a society that doesn't value their motherhood, that sees motherhood as a burden, that sees pregnancy as a disease, that sees unborn children like as if they're tumors, and doesn't want to, you know, embrace the beautiful gift of maternity, of motherhood, this incredible superpower women have to bring children into the world. And so if there are complications, if women suffer along the way, that's what our society is willing to tolerate because we have this horrible attitude towards women. I mean, this goes to, you know, this goes down pretty deep down to some of the pathologies we have about femininity and femaleness and motherhood in our society. Because, you know, surgical abortion is also really a horrible ordeal for women. And not what more than half of the women seeking abortions actually want. We know this. For some reason, we just don't care. We're willing to let women suffer in order to, you know, end their pregnancies, usually for the convenience of men. Most abortions are more wanted by a male, the father, than they are by the mother. It could be a husband, a boyfriend, an employer, boss. It could be a father who is insisting on the abortion and pushing the woman into it, even if it causes her tremendous suffering. And of course, even if it kills her child, which it always does. But along the way, and this is a very important point to highlight, it is possible for a mifepristone abortion, an abortion pill abortion, to be reversed. If the woman has only taken the first of the pills, the mifepristone, RU46, and then it just changes her mind, doses of progesterone can counteract the effects of that pill and allow the pregnancy to continue. And hundreds of children, thousands of children, have been born after this abortion pill reversal protocol has been used. But here again, we have state governments like Colorado has passed a law against offering this protocol that saves a life and allows a woman to end an abortion she's decided she does not want to finish. And there's a big battle going on in the state of Colorado right now over that new law against this abortion pill reversal protocol that works 60% of the time and that has saved so many countless lives. Other states are considering the same, and the media is constantly harping on this and claiming that it's junk science, that it's unproven. Well, everything's unproven until it's proven. Every new thing, you know, washing your hands before doing surgery was once a radical new idea. And physicians were horrified at the claim that they should wash their hands before they see a patient, let alone do a surgery. And at one time that wasn't proven. And yet it was still true that you should wash your hands before you cut somebody's body open. So here we have a new protocol that some courageous pro-life doctors have put forward, and the abortion industry and the media and even the government are trying to shut that down. So that's yet one more reason why it's so critical that pro-life people, the listeners to the Relevant Radio today, step forward, order copies of the abortion pill, What You Need to Know from Pro-Life Action League, and pass those out. You can get those at prolifeaction.org. There's a pop-up right on the home screen. And you click on the, you know, scroll down, click on the border button. You can pre-order those. And as soon as those are in my office, I will rush them to you so that you can start to share the truth. Not just about how horrible this pill is, but about the hope that's there for women who have taken half of the protocol and want to change their minds.
And Eric, with Mother's Day right around the corner, it's coming up on May 14th. Have you noticed a lot of retailers sending out opt-out messages for people who don't want get Mother's Day promo emails? What does this say about motherhood in our culture?
Well, you know, we talk as Christians, we often talk about, you know, the war on Christmas. Well, what we're really seeing here is a war on Mother's Day. You know, the word mother is now considered by some people to be a kind of hate crime because part of it is because of the sorrow of infertility. We don't want to upset people. And I certainly understand how difficult days like Mother's Day and Father's Day and other holidays are for people who are suffering with infertility. And we pray for them. We pray ardently for them that they will overcome that and the Lord will bless them with a child. But we can't go pretending motherhood doesn't exist or is shameful or something to be whispered about. And that's what's happening. Retailers are sending out these messages. You know, part of it is that, the abortion industry and the left has stopped talking about motherhood. They talk about birthing people instead of mothers. They talk about, you know, I don't know what their word is for fathers, but birthing people is what they want to call mothers now. They don't want to talk about pregnant women. They want to talk about pregnant people because they claim that a transgender woman, which is a man trying to pass as a woman, you know, is also literally a woman, and also that a transgender man, a woman who styles herself a man and is somehow a man can be pregnant now, according to our crazy new idea of what it means to be male or female. which of course totally contradicts what we know to be true, not only through the eyes of faith, male and female, he made them, but through the eyes of science, we can see that there are two sexes. This is very plain. And yet we're in a crazy world where words have no meaning anymore, including the word mother. And so now Mother's Day is something to be ashamed of and have people opt into so that they don't become upset. We have to resist this with everything we've got. Every one of us, whether, you know, whether a couple is fertile or not, every single one of us has a mother we should be grateful for. And we get the model for that from our Lord. You know, Jesus, you know, God the Father put Mary's position at the center of the entire mystery of salvation. She's the first one to whom the mystery of Christ's incarnation is revealed because she will bear him. You know, motherhood was the channel through which God entered into the world. It's something that we as Christians should have the deepest possible reverence for. And this indeed is why the Catholic Church has always opposed abortion, because we recognize the relationship of Christ to Mary. Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, conceived in the womb of Mary. He is God and man in the womb of Mary. Similarly, every unborn child is a human child of God, made in the image of God, in the womb, you know, from the moment of conception, you know, before I was formed in the womb, you knew me, that kind of thing. So we as Christians have a special role to play in upholding motherhood. So let us celebrate Mother's Day with increasing enthusiasm in the face of this opposition. And let us wish happy Mother's Day to every mom that we see. And in fact, to every person that we see, because it is a happy thing for anyone to have a mother, to have been born. This is the beginning of all of our lives. So all of us should be celebrating and wishing one another. Maybe that's something we should all begin to do. Wish happy Mother's Day to everyone. Happy Mother's Day to you and your mother, say to everyone we meet.
And Eric, these attacks on Mother's Day and motherhood really, I believe, have a spiritual component. It's a spiritual battle, mm-hmm. and we need to address it with spiritual means.
That's absolutely right. And Pro-Life Action League always emphasizes prayer as sort of the beginning of all the work that we do. And I think as Catholics, you know, we have an incredibly powerful prayer for this purpose, and that's the Hail Mary. When you think about it, it's an unusual prayer. What other prayer do you know has an organ of the body in it? You know, so a lot of prayers have the heart in it, but usually it's sort of a metaphorical heart. When we say, blessed is the fruit of your womb, we are talking about the actual uterus, the uterus of the woman God chose to be the mother of his son, Jesus. A bodily organ is in a prayer, the fruit of your womb. The womb is a sacred place. And we recognize that. We get that at a deep, deep level as Catholics, because from early childhood, we pray that beautiful prayer, the Hail Mary. So I would call on listeners, as we build this foundation of prayer for our defense of motherhood, to lean heavily on the Hail Mary.
And right smack in the middle of the Hail Mary is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the most powerful name in the world, and of course, that's what gives it really the power as we invoke our Blessed Mother in that angelical salutation. Eric, I just want to say thank you so much for being with us. Once again, for listeners that may be joining us, how can our listeners get that abortion pill, what you need to know, flyer?
You can get your order, your pre-order placed for the abortion pill, what you need to know, at prolifeaction.org. When you go to the site, there'll be a pop-up there. If the pop-up doesn't come up, you can go to our store, click on the store button, and you'll find that flyer there, and you'll be able to pre-order copies so that I can rush those to you the minute that they're in stock in my office.
Thanks so much for being with us, Eric. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, John. God bless you and all your listeners.
God bless you, too. Eric Shidler, the Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Gathering Feathers. A woman once repeated a nasty piece of gossip about a friend. The news traveled, and soon everyone knew the nasty news. The woman's friend was deeply hurt, not only by the untruths being said about her, but by the betrayal of a friend. The woman who had first passed on the gossip also was wounded, racked with guilt over the pain that she'd caused her friend. She approached her grandfather, a man she always had seen as very wise, and asked what she could do to set things right. Buy a chicken, have it killed, and on your way home, pluck its feathers and drop them along the road. When you've done this, come see me again. The woman was somewhat perplexed by this advice, but she followed it anyway. The next day, she returned to her grandfather. This time, he told her to go and collect all the feathers that she dropped on the road yesterday and bring them to him. "That's impossible," she said. "They've all blown away." "Exactly," said her grandfather. "It's easy to drop them, but impossible to get them back. It's the same with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread a rumor, but once you do, you can never undo the hurts. Perhaps you can ask for forgiveness." James 4:11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, you'll meet Jessica Lubering, the executive director of Father Gene's Help Center, and she'll tell us how her organization is providing dignity through clothing to help people in need. And Father James Kubicki will be with us to talk about the month of Mary. So stay with us. There's much more to come.